so I gotta rescue my uncle. But I'm not too sure how to find him, so I go to this island, right? But first I gotta talk to the chief. And then I gotta get some clues from a parrot. And then I'm helping these dolphins. And all the time I'm sneaking through graveyards and shooting zombies and blasting monsters. And my sub cracks up on the rocks. And the next thing I know, I'm cruising inside a whale. Whoa!
Oh, new game from Nintendo, man! Star Tropics! Every chapter's like another adventure, so it's like a whole slew of games in one.
This week in your parents' basement, we're slinging our yo-yo into anything that moves in order to save our uncle, a tropical island, and oddly, alien children. From 1990, we're playing Star Tropics by Nintendo for the NES. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is the co-host that you'll need a code for to get into his submarine. It's Todd Brisket.
I'm Miss Coral, 1990. Do you think I'm pretty?
And our other co-host, he leaves his footprints in the sand. Like Mike does in this game, and like Jesus does in life. It's Huell Hauser.
Hi, my name is Michael Jones, but my friends call me Mike.
You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. Also, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link at www.ypbpodcast.com. Released in 1990, Star Tropics is like Zelda, but linear and on islands and with a yo-yo. We nominated it for coverage this week because it is the 35-year anniversary of Zelda, which we already played for our epic 100th show that every celebrity was a big, big fan of. But anyways, Star Tropics. It's a nifty little game that was covered incessantly in Nintendo Power. Huell, I don't think you were familiar with this one, so why don't you share your thoughts first?
Boy, you are correct that I was not familiar with this game that we call Star Tropics.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never heard of it before we did the show. I think we mentioned it a few times in the past. But yeah, I found it more, I don't know about more similar, but the overworld that you kind of walk around on, it feels a little more like Pokemon than Zelda.
Oh, it's more like a standard RPG fare, Dragon Warrior.
The Pokemon map. Mm-hmm. Is more like, but then once you get into a dungeon, it's like room
that's
by
when,
room.
That's when the S gets real.
S gets R. Well, it gets a little more zoomed in and your character gets bigger. So yes, there's this tool. It's like a dual thing where you walk around the overworld and get like village to village. Then once you get into a dungeon, you're in the action. You're ready to smash stuff with a yo-yo or a bat. So yeah, very straightforward gameplay, pretty simple story. I like that it's on islands. This is basically Moana the game. lots of island folk and sailing and submarines. Well, not sailing, but you're in a submarine. Lots of huts, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Lots of palm trees.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a nice twist. The setting of this game is a good twist from your regular RPG, action RPG fare.
What? Twist. It's a change of pace.
Change of pace, yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, I like the South Pacific island chain kind of feel. I like that. It's a good setting.
This game has to be the definition of Salt Life, right?
Oh, my. Yeah, I don't know if we missed that or if we mentioned that at all when that question was asked a few weeks ago, but yeah, this is a top Salt Life game. Absolutely.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, there's starfish, there's jellyfish. You talk to a dolphin. I mean, it's fantastic.
You drive a submarine around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You get to get a message in a bottle.
Yeah, this is a very good manual game, isn't it, Huell?
The manual I found, it might just be like a translation. Not translation, but like a transcribing of the manual, but there is one, I don't know if it's famous, but infamous manual gimmick. Let's say a manual gimmick in this game where you get a letter from your Uncle Mike. So the story is your dear Uncle Mike went missing as soon as you went to visit him. So you're on the trail to try to find him. And you get a letter from Uncle Mike that leads you back to Sea Island, where he lives. So he's like, hey, come visit. So you bring the letter with you.
And they call it, you know why they call it Sea Island?
Because
of all of the censorship rules that Nintendo has.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, of course,
a lot of ways we could have gone with that one. But Yeah, it was originally something very vulgar in Japan, but they decided to censor it when bringing it to the States. Mm-hmm. But the gimmick is, in the manual, there's a letter from your Uncle Mike, and if you dip it in water, you get the secret frequency in order to find his transmitter, or to use on your transmitter. Mm-hmm. To communicate with him at one point.
Yeah, that's a really nifty thing that it had. It's I think it's ahead of its time. It's using the packaging as part of the game. A lot of PC games around this time also had, hey, look up page 53 and type in the third word in the second paragraph.
Yeah,
as the copy, the DRM of the time.
Yeah, we talked
about
that.
This purely was, purely was just a packaging thing. I mean, I don't think they're worried about kids downloading this game and copying it.
No. Yeah, it's more of just a fun little twist you could do, mm-hmm. which I find that's A+ in my book.
Well, you say they probably weren't worried about kids downloading it, but Nintendo were dicks about things like used game sales and video store rentals.
Yeah, that's true.
Like I think at one point they tried to sue Blockbuster.
If you ever got this one as a rental, you could not beat it because you need that letter.
Or it went. I mean, the manual would usually come with the game, and like imagine a separate
piece of paper though.
But imagine being like the 10th kid that rented it, and you just get this soggy, crinkled paper in your game case.
Yeah, most likely what would happen is the high schooler that's taking the game out of the Nintendo box and putting it into the Blockbuster cases pulls this out. He finds the manual. He sticks the manual in there, sticks the game in, finds this other letter. Is like, oh, this doesn't go in here with like all the other games, and just tosses it in the trash.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I see what you mean. So, yeah, you rent the game, you get to that part, and you're like, there's nothing for me to do here.
Yeah.
I wasted my $2.
Although, honestly, that would require you to get to that part of the game, which is that's not a given.
Mm. At least not like, on our rental timeline.
Yeah, and given our skill when it comes to gaming, that's not a guarantee.
Yeah.
Yes, skill in quotes.
Skill.
Yeah, this is a kind of hard. I mean, you call it linear, but it's not very straightforward at certain points, like what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like that submarine, when you get to that second island or whatever, I was lost.
You have to go in the secret tunnels that you cannot see. I couldn't get to the other side.
Yeah. Well, I got to those, but then like there was a second secret tunnel like through the mountain, where like you scoot your submarine through the tunnels, and then you talk to that person in the house. They're like, go find that bottle. And then from there, I'm like, there's nowhere to go.
You scoot your butt through the tunnel.
Yeah, and then scoot your little summer butt through those tunnels.
Yeah,
but then there's no
scoot
your butt. But there's no indication that there's a secret tunnel in the mountain.
That took a while for me too. This is my first time. You know, I've heard about the game growing up. It's been in all the Nintendo Powers. I've seen it on the shelves of the Blockbusters. But it never appealed to me to try out until this week when we decided to cover it. And it took me a while to figure out that they have those secret paths in the mountains.
I looked it up.
I can't just immediately go to some guide this early in the game. And I finally was just like, there's got to be a secret tunnel somewhere, either in the water for the submarine or on land. Like, maybe I'll walk through this tree. And eventually I found it. Took about 15 minutes.
Yeah, I think I was trying mostly with the sub because I thought, like, oh, that's the new part of this new part of the game. It's got to be something with the submarine. But turns out you're just walking through a mountain.
Yeah, that part's kind of weird. And you know, to be honest, I found all of the part where you're going through towns and that kind of thing not necessary. Like, they could have easily
They
could have easily just taken all of those aspects out, and it would have been a better game.
They could Yeah, from the start, like the first village you go to, all you do is talk to the elder, and then you go into a dungeon. That elder part where you're talking to him, and it shows a cartoon mm-hmm. version of him. They could just have that part as the intro to the dungeon.
The big pop-belly yeah. dude?
Yeah, with a huge yeah. stash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does not look like an island native. He's just
no,
like this,
not so
this
much.
Random white guy who who's hanging out, happens to be the oldest guy on the island.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Hawaii?
Yeah, lots that's of pretty fat much, white dudes.
That's the natives there now.
Plenty of fat white dudes.
Oh. But no, that part of the game is not especially fun. Like even as you get deeper into the game, what ends up happening is you just wander around and talk to everyone, and you kind of like just hope that you can find something to do, because then you're talking to the chief about his sick wife and like trying to find a missing dolphin, and you have to talk to enough people, and then it's like, oh, now you can go out the other side of our village. It's okay now.
Steve, so. you realize that's how I feel about every RPG. Like what you feel of this game, that's every RPG to me. You wander through a village, talk to 25 people, hoping that one of them gives you that one clue that lets you do something, and then you do that in the next village, and yeah, that's RPGs. Now you know how I feel.
It's like real life.
Kind of. Talk to all these losers, hoping one of them gives you something to do.
The thing is, I feel like NES era RPGs, though, and games, it's just way worse. Mm-hmm. Like it's like the, you know, in that part of the game, your character moves at a slow crawl. There's almost no way to speed up the dialogue in that
true.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, speaking of moving the character, did you find the controls like a little sluggish? Like
oh, yeah.
controlling it, the guy specifically?
In the action sequences?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of it is sluggish if you just pick it up off, you know, come in off the street and pick up the controls, it feels sluggish. But it has a little quirk to it, which is that whenever you tap a directional button, you don't immediately start going that way. That button just turns you.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to hit it, continue to hit it to start moving.
Yeah, the turning
thing. It's a strategy with fighting the baddies in the caves is to turn without moving.
Yeah, the turning thing definitely helps when fighting because you can only shoot one direction with your yo-yo. But like even when you're moving, it just feels like you don't stop on time. Like you go like a little bit further than when you release the button too.
True, it's grid based, so they stop you on the
squares.
Yeah,
I guess that's true. I think I picked that up eventually, but it's just it does take some getting used to the actual controls.
Yeah, I don't know. I found it a little bit sluggish too, and it does just take a little bit of time getting used to. The thing that bugged me was the fact that your main weapon is the yo-yo, mm-hmm. and its reach is pretty small. Like it's.
Yeah.
It's not like that yo-yo from Legend of the Mystical Ninja, like that thing that goes like way across the screen. This one is just, I don't know.
It's not like that yo-yo in Yo-Noid, which goes a quarter of the way across the screen.
Oh,
that sounds like
but
a
it is,
game. We should play
it. Yeah. It is slightly better than the yo-yo in The Goonies 2 for Nintendo.
Oh,
Jesus. That one, the yo-yo is kind of worthless.
I made a ranking
of the best yo-yo games on the Nintendo.
Is this Todd's famous yo-yo rankings?
Yeah, number
that
one.
We've been waiting 121
I'll go
episodes
three to one.
To get
guys,
to...
it took this long because I had to spend years doing research on this.
Cultivating.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Legend of the Mystical Ninja is Super Nintendo. It's not on the old... the old NES one, you only play as the blue hair, which... he throws coins and he has a pipe. The yo-yo comes into play in the Super Nintendo. So on the NES, the NES, as they say in the UK. The NES.
The NES.
Number three, you got Yo-Noid.
N-E-Z. Sorry.
Number three is Yo-Noid, starring mm-hmm. the guy from the Domino's commercials.
Yep.
And number two is The Goonies 2, the sequel to the movie.
Oh.
And number one is... Star Tropics, starring Mickey Jones.
Ooh.
Glad I got to play the number one yo-yo game on Nintendo systems.
Yes, wow. Me too. It's a proud day for me and my family. So we get all the rankings out of the way. Where is Star Tropics on the DuckTales scale?
Ooh, great ask. You know, this is a classic game. It's got to be riding somewhere around a 0.62 on the DuckTales scale, which is a solid effort. Solid
0.62, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is a playable game. Some consider a classic.
Interesting. Wow. Yeah, not bad.
Is this game better or worse than The Legend of Zelda?
Oh, worse.
Yeah. It's weird. This game is kind of compared to Zelda, and if you would ask me which one came out first, I kind of would have thought Star Tropics, but no, it came out 4 years after.
Yeah, I would say, you know, Zelda is a superior game, and I would say Star Tropics came out later just because of the colorful, bright sprites and characters it has more effort put into the quality of the show.
You can definitely see the age of the first Zelda, like playing it now.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's better gameplay, but that doesn't always mean that's more recent, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, yes. Go ahead.
The original Zelda, its art style is kind of minimalist to me, but really that's also probably like a programming choice, like just because it's so old.
Yeah, not a programming choice, but just like a limitation.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, Tropics was what, 90 and Zelda was 86?
Yeah, 86 okay. In Japan.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. Okay. This is Star Tropics is one of the rare games that released in the U.S. first and developed solely for a U.S. audience, I believe. Yep.
And it was only released in the U.S. and Europe. It was not released in Japan.
Mm-hmm. That really killed our earlier joke.
Which is very bizarre. Very bizarre that happened.
Yeah, I mean, there is a decent amount of text in this game, so it would have been a pretty big translation job, but it's not like... It's not like it's so American that it wouldn't be playable in Japan.
I mean, they made it Japanese style American, like American, like baseball with the baseball bats.
Oh boy, we're gonna get a call from Guy Aoki.
Some more letters.
Yeah, guys, I'm married to an Asian, so I signed the paper. I have allowed. A legal right. To make these kinds
of
documents.
Jokes. He's got the
documents. The documents in place.
She was watching you play the game and offered those comments. And you're
those are direct quotes.
Yeah.
Oh, direct quotes. And big penis.
I doubt she said that.
Jesus Christ.
Why can't you be like Mike Jones?
All right. Yeah, that does sound more like her.
We've all met her.
So the
music's pretty great, guys.
Yeah, pumping tunes. It's got really a good soundtrack.
Yeah.
The only issue is that it does get repetitive. If you put in the time, the hours into it, you'll hear the same songs over and over. But those same songs are good tracks.
Yeah, as you're trying to pass a specific labyrinth for like the 15th time.
As you're trying to find the one panel... to hop on, to reveal another panel, to hop on the button of to open the door.
Yeah,
the puzzles were like all the same in this game.
I think they get like I got up to I had to look in a guide. I think it was called Ghost Island. Ooh. because these there are invisible enemies at this point.
Oh God! And I did not get that far.
You have to use a wand to reveal them, except I didn't even know that you can get magical items. Like, I'd picked up a snowman earlier in the game, and apparently that's a magical item you can use. To use magical items, you have to hit start to pause the game, and then you press down, and it brings you to another menu.
Oh.
And then you can use items.
Hmm.
But, no, the thing I found frustrating about this one, and also why I like Zelda better, is that enemies do not drop hearts that often. So
no, they definitely don't.
Yeah, and like even God, even the first or second boss is pretty tough. Like
yeah, yeah.
And you only get, I think you only have 3 or 4 hearts at that point. Like this is one of those odd games where I could see it getting a little bit easier as you go along, just because you have a longer life bar.
Yeah, the first boss, once you figure out the gimmick, isn't too bad. But that second boss was a pain. The octopus.
That one you have to figure out.
The bullet hell octopus?
The bullet hell octopus, yeah. But what you have to figure out, the secret to that one, is you get your baseball bats, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And somewhere there's hidden a snowman, which when you use it, it freezes time. So whenever he jumps, whenever he shoots towards the ledge, you freeze time, you get next to him, and you just keep hitting and hitting with your baseball bats nonstop. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got the snowman, but I did not know how to use it, and I'm glad Steve just told me now, because would not have known.
Yeah,
I don't know if the manual even tells me.
The weird thing is the simple solution to that to me is they should have just made it like Zelda, where if you hit start, it brings you to a menu.
Well, there's select to select your weapons, but
yeah,
no way to select those magic items, except mm-hmm. pressing down, of course.
Yeah, but, yeah. It just didn't strike me as very intuitive. I don't know any other game that handles it that way. I feel like every other game you start brings you to a menu, like whether it's Zelda or Mega Man, like if you want to switch weapons in Mega Man or anything else like that.
Exactly.
Or it would have made more sense to me if select did cycle through your magic items. And you had to hit start to switch your weapons, like from the yo-yo to the bat and to the boas and other things.
Then how would you pause your game?
That is start. The pause. Going to the menu.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, like, that's how you pause your game in Zelda. You hit start.
All right.
So...
Instead of just holding up a sign that says pause, which is what happens in Star Tropics.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it cool? Back in the day, you ever think about this? Back in the day, they had these games, and they actually had to create a pause menu. In modern day games, you just bring up any menu, and like an item menu or a options menu, and that's your pause. In the olden mm-hmm. days, classic games, you have to hit the start button or the or AKA the pause button. To freeze the screen and show the word pause on the screen. Man has evolved.
Yes.
I'm really not sure what you're getting at, but sure.
I'm saying this is old school thinking. We're
saying
in the
because
age of the millennials.
Because pause doesn't bring up a menu.
Pause no longer freezes the screen and shows the word pause. Now you have to bring up a menu to pause your game.
Okay. But that's usually by hitting the same button you'd normally pause the game for.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Reduce, reuse, recycle.
This modern world.
Yes.
Now I'm on board.
Speaking of which, guys, did you know there's a... this game is very progressive for its time. In other regards.
Oh.
There's a town in the game called Shikola that only allows females to enter it. So you have to cross-dress and assume your female identity to enter the island, or that town.
Yes. I also like, at one point, a villager thinks you're from Americola. So.
This is true. That's almost racist.
Well, just to touch on the history of this one, Star Tropics did have a sequel, Zoda's Revenge, which has the dubious distinction of being the last game developed by Nintendo solely for the NES. It came out only in the US in March 1994, meaning 2.5 years after the Super Nintendo. I think the only game after it was Wario's Woods. And that came out for the NES and Super Nintendo. So Unlike a lot of games released in the late NES timeframe, though, Star Tropics 2 is reasonable to purchase at $8 for the cart and $25 for the box and manual. This is probably because it was still made by Nintendo, who did make adequate supply of their games back then. The original Star Tropics is around the same price, and both games are available on the various Nintendo online shops. So,
yeah, I don't know if it's... I guess there's just enough of them, and the demand isn't that high. Because, like I said, I mean, this isn't, like, a super popular game, I think, as far as I know. Judging by my own personal experience.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I always heard of this growing up. Mm-hmm. But it was in Nintendo Power, which is, you know, basically Nintendo's house organ for propaganda. So I don't know how much this game actually sold versus how much they were just trying to push it. Okay. I'm looking on Wikipedia now to see if they have info on there, and it doesn't look like it's on the list, which means it probably sold less than a million copies.
Okay.
As compared to some great games like Popeye and Hydlide and Tiger Healy in NES Open Tournament Golf.
Popeye. Pop them eyes.
Yeah. So this is a game they really pushed out there, but as far as I can tell, it did not sell like gangbusters. It probably sold decently just because they did make a sequel for it, but it's, you know, it's not a big earner. They have not revived it since then.
It's been completely dormant. Yes. Mike Jones hasn't even made an appearance in Smash Brothers yet.
Oh,
that's weird. Do they have like a is he like a trophy at least, or like a
I don't know what those
collectibles are?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Doesn't one of the Earthbound people use a yo-yo?
Yeah.
That's probably why. You can't have two yo-yos.
No. All the
no one will play it, yeah.
Yeah, cross those strings up.
Yeah, can't cross the strings.
Yeah. You know,
they always say that.
You have two people doing around the world right next to each other, you're going to have some strings caught together.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is bizarre that he is not in Smash Brothers now that I think about it, since there's at least two Earthbound characters.
Yeah, my only thought is that because it never came out in Japanese people might have no affinity to this at all.
Oh, sure. It's like a reverse Fire Emblem thing.
Right, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, no one here cares about Fire Emblem, but they're in like three or four Smash Brothers games.
Yeah, and finally because Marth was in Smash Brothers, like his game and the other games in the series finally got released in America, and now it is an actual series for Nintendo over here. So
yeah, you had to know there'd be enough nerds to play it.
Star Tropics can be Japan's Marth.
The Marth of Japan. What a dubious title.
Big in Japan, just like Spinal Tap. That's what Mike Jones can be.
Exactly.
Huh?
Exactly.
Huel, did you have anything else you wanted to add about this one?
There's a point, well, two. Apparently, Mike is a star pitcher for his local baseball team.
Yeah, he's the ace pitcher, according to the chief of Sea Island.
And he uses a bat at one point. So that's like one of his weapons. Which is kind of weird. Because pitchers usually suck at hitting. Anyway, yeah. They also...
When he gives Mike his yo-yo, he's like, here, use this yo-yo. You're the ace pitcher, so you know how to use it. It's like, okay.
Yeah, it's like, this is the ancient weapon.
Two things are unrelated.
It's the ancient weapon of our tribe, this yo-yo.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never seen Randy Johnson with a yo-yo. Maybe the skills do translate.
It's true.
He can walk the dog for hours.
I think he wears a mask he wears a mask and tours middle schools with yo-yo tricks, so no one recognizes him.
Just like that episode of The Simpsons.
Yeah.
The only other yo-yo culture I can think of.
Dazzler and whatever.
Yeah.
But there's also a point, I think it's the first dungeon, where if you go through a series of rooms, the last room just immediately ends in a water trap. So you just go through the door and just die. I was like, at first I was mad, and then I was kind of like, you know what, game? Good for you. You got me, game. I got greedy. I kept going through these rooms looking for treasures, and I immediately fell in the water. So yeah, it has that one of those old school game things where water just kills you instantly.
Yeah,
this kid cannot swim.
Yeah, he cannot swim. So what better place to go to than a tropical island?
Yeah, better go to this island to visit my uncle, surrounded by water.
Mm-hmm.
Spending too much time on the diamond, not enough time in the pool.
And when you do die, you only get 3 of your hearts back. The rest remained empty.
Yeah, that's pretty crappy.
Yeah.
You also descend to heaven immediately.
Yeah.
Ascend to heaven.
Yeah, that...
You got, like, the full halo and everything.
Yeah, which is kind of odd since you do have multiple lives in this game. Like,
it's cloning technology.
Yeah.
Each clone has its own soul.
Yep. It's a moral stance, this game.
How about you there, Todd?
We didn't really touch on the in-game story of what happens.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Would you like to... I didn't get that far.
Do the honors.
Yeah, so pretty much you do the same thing for the majority of the game, which is just go from place to place doing menial tasks for all these dolphins and fish people. And eventually you find your uncle, who's been kidnapped by aliens, because your uncle Dr. Jones discovered a crashed escape pod from a faraway planet called Argonia. And the escape pod contained 3 magic cubes, which are now in the hands of the aliens' evil leader, Zoda. So after defeating the evil alien Zoda, Mike recovers the 3 cubes and then escapes this self-destructing spaceship. He returns to Sea Island, and then the cubes are placed together, and from the cubes, a small group of children appear.
Mm-hmm.
Argonian alien children. And then from that point on, the village chief invites the children to live with them in Coral Cola, to which they accept, and the game ends with everybody on the island celebrating.
Yeah, everyday stuff.
Yeah.
When I first started this game up, I did not think it would end with alien visitors and that kind of stuff.
Well, it is Star Tropics.
Oh, good
point. So these are people from the stars are now in the tropics. Which is another thing.
Sharp reasoning.
I first read the manual. Like, I had no idea what this game was, so I read the manual first and was reading the story. And it says that Mike is a 15-year-old star pitcher from Seattle. So I thought, like, star pitcher was, like, some sort of, like, space term.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out he just plays baseball.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell does that mean? Does he have some sort of powers? No.
He's just living.
Just a normal kid.
Mm-hmm.
Pitching around.
Yeah. Well,
yep.
I think we should probably move along then.
One more note.
Oh,
one more
nope.
quick note.
Oh, nope, we
one more
not.
Note.
The last thing on my list I wrote says, hyper-realistic pig anus.
That's true. Yeah, you get that right off the bat.
Yeah, in the first village, I think.
The most accurately drawn thing in this game.
Yeah. You get a look at your bacon. That's what you do.
Oh, my God.
Well, Well, let's move along to the email portion of the show. Todd, did you receive any emails?
Oh, you know what? I did.
Oh.
It's from a frequent writer, and they write, "Hey, yeah, fellas, Bill and Ted, chocolate and peanut butter, Hall and oats, male and female heterosexual relationships. A lot of things in this world go great together. What are two games you'd like to see have a crossover? Please answer before my Tuesday pitch meeting. Your pal, Jimmy Blizzards."
Interesting. Oh,
I don't know if I condone everything that Jimmy Blizzards just said right there, yeah. But he is a fan, so we need to answer him.
Here's one, and maybe the name made me think of it, but StarCraft versus Warcraft.
Ooh.
Gimme lasers and orcs. Gimme Zerg versus was it Zerg?
Taurens. Yeah.
Versus the elves.
The Terrans versus the Taurens.
Now, this might be a silly question there, Huel, but isn't that basically what your Warhammer dollies are? Like,
my dollies are very similar to what I just said. And maybe that is another reason I like that concept.
Now, those two games have crossed over in Heroes of the Storm, which is their MOBA.
That's some dumb MOBA that no one cares about. But I want to see it in RTS format. Mm. Now, you might be thinking, maybe these lasers are too strong for just dudes with shields. But they can make it work. They can bounce it out with like magic and whatnot. I think it could happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, StarCraft is very much known as a ripoff of Warhammer 40K. Mm-hmm. Just without the elves are kind of like this is the Protoss.
Yeah. Was it Warcraft that is also a ripoff of Warhammer as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of happened that way. But that's all. The fantasy stuff is more just vague fantasy. I mean, everyone's got elves and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's true. But everyone's just ripping from Tolkien anyway.
Yeah. So give me an RTS crossover.
Hmm. That is a good suggestion.
Todd, any ideas?
First thing that came to my mind, and I haven't fully put much thought into this yet, but what popped into my mind, Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Crusader Kings 2.
Oh. that's almost perfect.
Just combine all the elements of the two best genres in the world.
So the wives that you buy and sell are the fighters or beach volleyball players from Dead or Alive.
Right, and they rule their own duchies.
Okay. Do they pass the duchies to the left-hand side?
Yeah.
Okay.
Huh. I don't know, just I kind of guess I would want a like Civilization mixed with something else, but now that I think about it, I don't know what to mix it with.
Dance Dance Revolution.
Just yeah, something
all your battles are dance offs.
I guess just something like
I like that.
No, cuz I was thinking, oh, what if you mixed up a Civilization with like a game development game? Like where you're developing, like it's a game simulation game, like instead of Baseball Mogul. But then I realized I was thinking a Game Biz, which is kind of like a video game simulation.
Yeah, they have Game Dev Tycoon is another one.
Yeah, yeah, one of those kind of games.
Oh, where you're like warring video game companies?
Yes, yes. Yeah, I've poked around that genre before, and there's not really a dominant game yet. Like Game Biz series, that one is my favorite, and even then, it's all very text and menu based, and the GUI, it's not good, and the guy who made it is not American, so the spelling and grammar is awful throughout the games.
How dare you? He's a person.
Yeah. And I, frankly, I don't know if it's something you can do anyway, since like he was using historical game names like as your competition. Mm. Whereas I think if you did an actual commercial product, you like there's no way you're gonna get the right sign offs and that kind of thing. Yeah. So
well, that's why you got to have your Fire Pro Wrestling approach where you.
Oh yeah,
you have
Zelda
slightly Zelda.
Thank you, Kang.
Yeah. Yeah, the memorial of the elf lady.
Look, just give me any game where Gandhi can yell at you, and I'm happy.
Oh yeah, Gandhi would still be involved.
Sure.
So okay. He would attempt a nuclear bomb video game companies in this game.
That makes sense. I'm good with that.
Yeah. All right. Well, Huel, did you receive any mails?
I did. I got an email. It's a new writer. And they write in, "Hey, cool podcast you guys have here. I heard about you guys on the After Disaster. Another great show. I decided to listen to your latest episode on Night Trap. That sounded like a really fun game. The best part is you get to watch people in a house without them knowing. Watching people is an exhilarating experience. I'll even settle for something like Twitch, where they already know you're watching. Would you guys ever stream yourself playing a game? I just want to watch you. I want to watch you all." And there's no sign-off, but the email was thetoucher@gmail.com. So that's who wrote in here.
I mean, we did try Twitching.
Yeah, we do have all that set up, and we've twitched a few times.
Do we have a channel, or did we just use Todd's?
No, I had my own. I had my own, okay. And I streamed on there, but it just takes a lot of time to do all that. Yeah. I play in spurts lately.
No, I've noticed. But yeah, I just don't. For one, I don't play that much to begin with anymore. Mm-hmm. And for two, it just seems like a lot of overhead for me to figure out. And it can't be that hard to figure out, because I mean, all these dumb teenage jerks do it. So like, I could probably do it, but no one wants to watch that.
Mm-hmm.
No. No one wants to watch me struggling through another FTL session.
Oh, FTL, so good. Todd and I tried a couple times, and just I don't know. We probably get more people watching now that the show is into 121 episodes. but it was also just hard to sync it up schedule wise.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, My sweet baby boy time is precious each week, but I, you know, when I actually play these games, it is all over the map. Just
yeah, that's a same for me. Yeah,
yeah.
Like
yeah,
I'll put in five minutes before the kids get home from school, and then another 15 once they go to bed, and then I'll take a break during lunch and play another 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good streaming. Streaming time strategy. Schedules. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But as we were talking amongst ourselves today, if you use that Amazon click-through link at www.yppodcast.com, you know, you can help us on our goal to leave all our responsibilities behind and just focus full-time on games.
Yeah, if you want to watch the streaming, we would have plenty of time.
We're almost there. We're almost replacing our full-time salaries.
It's our goals are close.
Yes, my suggestion is to either buy 1 million little things or just buy something that costs like $5.3 million on Amazon, and that would really help us out.
That could work. Yeah.
Yes. Buy a gold plated diamond. So
or a diamond plated Super Nintendo.
Oh God, that's an even better idea.
It's got to exist, right?
I mean, if you buy diamonds and a Super Nintendo, it exists. So.
Yeah. All you need is the hot glue gun.
Mm-hmm. Well, I received one mail this week. Hi, sweet baby boys. I've had a rough, rough week. Something about groups not liking each other. It's all politics. Is there a game you hate way more than other people seem to? Pal of the show, Donnie.
Ah, oh, it's our good friend Donnie. Yeah.
What did he ask you? You read that very quickly.
Oh, is there a game you hate way more than other people seem to?
Oh, okay. Well, I touched on it earlier, but almost every RPG.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good choice for you. Is it the question, a game we hate more than everybody else in the world, or like, is there a, because I don't really get into those.
Yeah, it's hot. The world.
I don't really get into those. This is hot, the hot new genre on the scene these days. The hot new genre. The hottest off the presses is these visual anime novels that people are playing.
Oh. Yeah.
So I'm not too keen on those.
Exactly.
Oh.
Everyone's playing them.
Everyone.
Can't turn the corner without seeing someone playing them.
Mm-hmm.
The Persona series?
That's not a Persona series. That's a. It is basically a book with pictures.
Mm. Okay.
They call it a visual anime novel.
So the one series I thought it was, the one rare series I thought it was, isn't even it. It's something even more obscure.
Like, well, Persona, yeah, there's actually gameplay and things to do.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, you know those walk-em-ups we play sometimes, like Gone Home or Everyone's Gone to the Rapture? Like, imagine that. Yeah, like, imagine that, but with no walking.
Hmm.
They're just, they're not walk-em-ups, they're just um-ups.
And more reading.
Mups.
Yeah, read-em-ups. That's what they are.
Oh, read-em-ups, okay. I gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. My answer was going to be Dark Souls.
Mm.
Oh, I'm with you there, yeah.
I could definitely agree on that.
Way too much punishment for the amount of enjoyment I would get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure the argument people will give you is like, oh, you gotta practice and get good, and once you beat it, you feel satisfied. It's just way too much of an investment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, if you sink 100 hours into it, then you get good. And it's like, ah, geez, or I could play Fallout 4 like twice.
A game that's difficult does not appeal to me. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah. Seems to be a common refrain with our show, but...
Which is like 80% of the games we play.
Yeah.
Boy, this was hard.
Man, I didn't remember this one being so hard.
Oh, that was a tough one.
Yeah. It's like our most... Unfortunately, it is our most common issue. Pretty much like every game.
Not see that coming.
Yeah. Oh boy. All right. Well, I think we're on to the most charitable portion of the show. Todd, did you get any asks this week?
We have an ask ready to go. Someone needs our help, so let us ask the Sweet Boys. So send all your asks into parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and we'll help you out, whatever you need, except for money. And we'll keep you anonymous unless otherwise requested. And this one, she didn't say to keep it anonymous, but she says her name inside her email, so I'll just read it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And she writes, jobs without college degree? Hi, I am Bella. I am 17. I am a junior in high school. I am not the smartest person. Even if I try with all my might, it never seems to be good enough. Sometimes a person will try to help me, but I don't understand anything. I feel so dumb. I really am dreading going to college. What jobs can I get without a college degree? Something that can make a semi-living at least?
Well, so... A semi-living? I mean, you could be a truck driver.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah, she'll make a semi-living, yeah.
I think you just need a week or two of classes, and you're out the door with a...
Join that convoy.
With a wheel between your fingers and a dream in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Get that Coors cross the state line. Dodge them Smokies.
For the bandits. Smokies are after you.
Oh, God, that reminds me of My favorite MST3K episode, Riding with Death.
Oh, Riding with Death is so good.
Yeah.
So good.
I got a smokey on my tail.
He's transporting like nitroglycerin or something.
Yeah, like
it's the, so absurd.
The 5-day journey to
go
50 miles down the highway.
Did you know it was like originally like a pilot for a TV show? They just like jammed two episodes together into a movie.
Yeah, I read that on the old internet after.
It's a very, very sharp plot turn halfway through the movie for some reason.
Yeah,
because it's two episodes of a show.
Yes, like halfway through the movie, they apprehend the bad guy, and then suddenly this trucker you met is now a race car driver.
It's so good. Yeah. Riding with Death, I highly recommend it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Star Tropics is good, but once you're done playing Star Tropics,
right?
Go...
Once you beat Star Tropics and rescue the alien children,
yeah.
Pop on some Riding with Death.
Yes, yes. Oh, so anyways, this lady.
Mm.
So she's looking for job suggestions. That was it.
Yeah, I was going to say be a podcaster full time.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about what you like to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure us begging for money 10 minutes ago would be very encouraging for her to seek this as some sort of career.
You said semi-living, right?
Well, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
So talk about like ponies or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever you're into.
Yeah.
Think about graduating.
Yeah.
Talk about thinking about graduating.
Yeah, and also, you know, we're asking for money, but we've only been at this for like a little more than 2 years. Like, that's still less than 4.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Please.
See, I'm full of...
Use that Amazon click-through link. Don't forget.
Help feed a Huel and an SG and a Todd for 1 week with your sponsorship.
That blue apron ain't going to pay for itself.
Oh, boy. Anyways.
I think we helped someone today.
Yeah. Oh, maybe she should get up with the past the past writer we had who was working at a Hooters. Like, that is also not require.
Oh, wait.
And also, because of that letter, there is now an opening at a Red Lobster. So, either one of those.
Also true, yeah.
Yeah.
And in about 6 months, when she's too old for it, there'll be another opening, and then she could probably slide into that one.
Yeah. A lot of options for you out. Just grab yourself by the bootstraps and go find them.
Hit the path.
Mm-hmm. So, I think we really helped someone there.
Mm-hmm.
Todd, was there anything else you wanted to say before we signed off?
Sure. Please visit my wife in the South House. She enjoys company.
Mm. I don't remember that one. That's
it's a very suggestive lighthouse operator.
Wow, that feels like quite a bit of innuendo.
He's just all there up there. All alone in the lighthouse.
Yeah, just leaving it open for some cuck in skater shoes to just come right in there.
I think that's the other way around. I think he's the one in skater shoes.
Yeah,
he's an islander. He's in sandals. So I got some cuck in sandals.
Some cuck in sandals. It's clearly the other way around.
Yeah, yeah.
He did say please, though.
Yeah.
It's a desire. It's his fetish.
Yeah, this is one of those games where there are some odd translations at times. And it probably doesn't have the excuse of being translated from Japanese, so Just some odd definitely, word choices.
Definitely doesn't.
Yeah. Anyways. Huel, did you have anything else you wanted to say before we signed off here?
I was just wondering, have you heard of my Uncle Steve? Well, most people don't call him that. They call him Dr. Jones.
Oh, nice. Good pull. Mm-hmm. So, on that note, here's a little snifferoo from next week's game.